That's the word, incidentally, for spirit. Translated 90 times, ghost. Holy Ghost. Amen. Translated 7 times, Holy Spirit. Amen. Translated many times, spirit. Praise God. It's the same person of the Trinity. There are not a half a dozen in the Trinity. Amen. When it says in Revelation the 7 spirits of God, it means the sevenfold one Holy Ghost in all of its perfection. Praise God. Amen. Thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we're cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy unto them. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I'll open your graves, cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Their graves are the nations into which they have been scattered. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you out of your graves. And shall put my spirit in you. And ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, moreover, son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Take another stick and write upon it Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, for all the house of Israel, his companions, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thy hand. For 2,000 years, amen, we have waited and watched. We have literally stole, so to speak, even though not stealing in the negative sense of the word, we have taken the blessing that was promised to Israel. And because they refused it and rejected it, we've had many a dry bone valley revival. Amen. Praise God. Wesley was a revival in the valley of the dry bones of the Church of England. And God brought a revival to what was later known as the Methodists. But in Wesley's day, they were not properly called Methodists, even though they were earmarked Methodists. They were not a denomination. Amen. They called them Methodists because they had a method. They called them Methodists because they had a method of consecration. They had a method of separation. Amen. And when the Methodists lost the method, they lost the spirit. Amen. They lost the revival. Amen. Presbyterianism under Finney was a revival of the dry bones. God waited long for Israel to return. They didn't return. Amen. And we stole another one of their blessings. Praise God. And Finney rocked his world. Did you know for 6 years they couldn't open a tavern in New York or have a dance after Finney held a revival? Amen. 80% of Finney's converts stayed saved. Amen. And hardly any today stay saved, not even 25%. But they made a survey of Billy Graham's revival in New York, amen, several years ago, and out of 25,000 people that claimed to make decisions for Christ, if I'm not mistaken, they only found 25 that actually started a church and became a Christian in the strictest sense of the word. Hallelujah. But Finney's revival was a valley of dry bones revived and renewed. When the Methodists lost the method, praise God, we had a revival. Right here in the United States, a former Methodist preacher, amen, Charles Fox Parham, started a revival 100 years ago, a Bible school. The only requirement was no tuition, school of faith, hallelujah, that you believe all the Bible. The Bible was their textbook. At the beginning of the year, 1901, the Spirit fell in Topeka, Kansas. And the Spirit began to blow upon this valley of dry bones. Methodism had lost the revival. Former Methodist was still a holiness standard, praise God, stole away the revival that was soon to be Israel's. At least we thought it was soon. But for 100 years, our churches have had revival after revival. Praise God. Many have been brought from the valley of dry bones. Many a church, many a denomination scattered beyond the point of regathering. Dead beyond the point of no return. But then God raised up men of God at the turn of the century. And there was a Pentecostal awakening. And as the song says, people come along making fun of me. But now we have churches in every state. And somewhere in glory, you'll find me singing and a-shouting through eternity. Praise God. Hey, at the turn of the century, we stole away another dry bones revival from Israel. You see, we keep having those revivals because Israel keeps delaying. We keep having those revivals because the mercy of God keeps holding back. And the church keeps having those moves of God. Amen. Will it happen this year or next? That there will be no more revivals? And finally, at last, after the church has had its final restoration, it has snatched that faithful few, that remnant, into the presence of God, as God promises in many, many scriptures. The catching away, the escape of the church. Praise God. When that happens, praise God, the opportunity is over as far as the church is concerned. But what if God gives us 10 more years? What if, in the beginning of this century, God gives us 100 more years? Man, what an opportunity. What a golden day for a faithful few to have another dry bones revival. When many a church has lost it and many a Pentecostal church has committed ecclesiastical suicide. Because when you welcome the world into the church, pretty soon there's no spirit at all. At first, when you welcomed the world into the church, you had a nucleus of people that kept the Spirit moving. You had a nucleus of people that knew how to pray. You had a godly remnant, the faithful few, praise God, that kept the home fires burning. And that crowd that came in, welcomed by the modern clerics, who are interested in counting nickels and noses more than they were saving the souls of men, more interested in playing politics in church than they were in saving the souls of men, more interested in statistics, amen, than stickability, come on, Amen. The church today that looks like it's going great guns is really committing suicide. Because just wait a few days till that worldly crowd takes over. When that worldly crowd takes the pulpit. When that worldly crowd gets on the board. When that worldly crowd begins to teach the Sunday school classes. Amen. You know what to do with the folks that leave the Highway of Holiness Church and go to one of these other liberal churches? They're in such good shape when they leave here, even though they backslid to leave here. They're so much better shape than where they went that they immediately put them on board and put them to teaching Sunday school classes. Amen. It don't make any difference if the women haven't got enough hair, amen, to comb in the morning. Amen. It don't make any difference if the wives don't wear enough clothes hardly to flag a hand car. Amen. Or ride a shotgun in the daytime. Amen. They're in such good shape when they first leave here. Amen. That they put them in office. Amen. But then, after a while, that worldly crowd that come in. Amen. The Bible said there were added to the church daily such as should be saved. Pardon me for a play on words, amen, but everybody that comes in should not be considered saved. Amen. Hallelujah. After a while, and they already have in most of the Pentecostal churches across the country, they've already took over. That's tongue-in-cheek. They're already tongue-in-cheek in their Sunday school classes. Already they don't believe in the literal inspiration of the Holy Scriptures. Already they're smarter than 10 holiest folks can give a reason. Amen. Already they're broke out with degrees and they're broke out with wisdom, but they're dead. Amen. When that crowd takes over the average church, makes no difference what it reads on the statistics, makes no difference what the bottom line is when it comes to finances. Amen. They have committed suicide. They're dead. God gives us a little more time. It's a wonderful opportunity to have revival. It's a wonderful opportunity to have awakening. Praise God. But it's going to take men with some grace and some grit and some backbone. Amen. Why did Paul go into the synagogue first everywhere he went? They were backslid. They were in bad shape. My Lord, they had rejected the Lord. They never had accepted Christ yet. And Paul goes in to give them a chance. Almost every time, they're the ones that rise up against him. Almost every time when he stomps his feet and slaps his sandals together and shakes off his garments, amen, in the synagogue just before he leaves to go to the Gentiles, it's because he gave a bunch of Jews that got the Bible a chance to get right with God. But over the world, they're still rejecting Christ. Amen. But Ezekiel 37 has a literal fulfillment as well as our many spiritual fulfillments. But down through the ages we stole away the blessing from Israel. Why? Because they were satisfied in New York. They were satisfied in London and in Stalingrad and in Moscow. Amen. And Warsaw. They were satisfied in all the nations where they'd been scattered. Why? Because judgment was upon Israel. And even today, Jerusalem, Palestine, Israel, is a valley of dry bones. Even those that have come back, ask the run-of-the-mill guide, the businessman, the man that takes care of the tourists, if he if he believes in God, if he's a real Jew in the Bible sense of the word, he'll tell you, I don't pray, I don't go to the synagogue, I don't practice the law. And he's telling the truth. And many, if not most, are atheists of a sort with their own gods. Money. Amen. Oh, yes. But the Bible promises there's going to be a revival in that valley of dry bones. Amen. There's going to be a stirring. There's going to be some men come on the scene in the last days. I read you last night about 144,000 of them. What's going to spark that revival? Number one, the escape of the church. Number two, the transfer of the spotlight from the church to a Jewish economy, to a Jerusalem economy. Amen. And here is what Ezekiel's talking about. He's talking about a return to a Jewish economy. He's talking about a return to a Jerusalem-centered message that God has one more move of God for Jerusalem. And I trust one more for us just before it happens. But that can't happen as long as we're in the way. As long as we're stealing the blessings, God can't turn up enough heat to cause Israel to scream for mercy. And so we are now letting. We are now hindering. We are now restraining. We're now holding back. Amen. We're holding back the revival in Palestine. They've got too much pride to accept the Christ of the church. But once the church is gone, they will be brought to the realization by the preachers. 144,000 of them eventually. Praise God. They need God. Hallelujah. And God's going to pour out His Spirit. And Joel chapter 2, amen, and 32 is going to be fulfilled. Hallelujah. In Jerusalem and in Mount Zion shall be deliverance. Ezekiel 37 will be fulfilled. And I will put my Spirit in you. 14th verse. And you shall live and place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I'm the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Amen. Now, you don't have to know these things to have your revival. Amen. But you have to know these things to understand what God's doing and where we are. And they've been right there before our eyes for ages. And they're still right here in front of us. By the year 2000, we have come to the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the rebuilding of Babylon. Both Babylon and Jerusalem has and are being rebuilt. The stage is set for change. Amen. How many more golden days will we have? How many more golden opportunities will we have? Amen. Carl and Ola Denny sang a song down in Blytheville, Arkansas several years ago. Me and Doe Jones went by their house and visited with them a while we was down at one of the big meetings down there. We found them. Carl Denny is a fiddle player and a singer, and Ola Denny. They're the ones I heard over the radio singing, "After all the strife is over and the burdens have been lifted, and we stand upon the mountaintop so tall, looking over in that city that the Savior is preparing, and I know that I shall make it after all." Amen. Ola Denny sang for us one of the new songs that they had just started singing, Oh Golden Hours. We'll never wait. Don't wait for something great. Do whatever you find to do, and do it now. Amen. Tonight, today, golden hours slipping through our fingers. We have gone in 100 years from the tin Lizzie to automobiles that speed up and down the highways at a high rate of speed. We've gone in 100 years from the Wright brothers' experimental, those bicycle mechanics' experimental airplane that stayed aloft for a few seconds, to worldwide travel in a few hours' time. You can land anywhere in the world and preach the gospel. All the satellites are up there. Oh, we'll stick some more up there, but there's enough up there. They can show you right where you are out on the highway. Just open up your computer and plug in your little gizmo, and some of the new cars have already got it built in. Amen. All you have to do is punch a few buttons. They tell you right where you're at. Some 7 satellites up there guiding the wayfarers today in the right direction. Why, boy, with some of these modern gizmos, don't look like you could get lost. Amen. But just a couple of years ago, we was going to export, and my son-in-law and one of his members both had one of these new little gizmos that showed you what roads you was traveling, and both of them had them out, and both of them was telling me where to go. I missed Interstate 70 in Columbus. Amen. Going toward Wheeling. I said, well, I'll catch 40 up here and then drop back down to it later. I'm going that way anyway. Wrong. Amen. But they showed me which way to go, and they showed me where to turn and to make my way back down to the interstate. Amen. You said you'd be coming to this little old town, and this new gizmo told us the road to take it. Here we are, halfway between Highway 40 and Interstate 70, headed for Wheeling to go to export. We get in this little old town where we're cutting through, and the bridge is out. I never got so lost in all my life following the satellites as I ever was. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll tell you one thing. Amen. We need a little bit of common sense. And I think perhaps we need to repeat the song over again once in a while. I'll take the road I know. Hallelujah. I'll take the way of holiness. But everything's in place. Knowledge has been increased. They've even repaired the Hubble telescope. Will that be the one that first sees the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven? I don't know. Amen. They may have some more up there in the meanwhile. But we are in our golden hour. This time is ours. It's up to us to redeem the time. Stand with me. Praise God. Amen, Father.